All right, welcome back. And before we move into answering the questions that are coming in, let me use this opportunity to remind us that this is not a prayer program. Please do not call in to ask for prayers. And it is not a program for dream interpretation. As well, it is not a program for marriage counseling. All these, we have special programs for that. You can always call the ministers on those occasions and they will minister to you. What we are here to do and ask a pastor is receive biblical questions. Yes, we are not here to answer questions of what happened between unbelievers and this. It's believers, biblical questions, and get biblical answers. I'm still Brother Godson Uba, and with me is still Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom,
shalom. All right, so let's have the questions coming in as they come in through SMS. All right, we have this. Brother James from Cameroon. Brother James from Cameroon is asking, Shalom, sir. I wish you more grace and long life. Say amen to that. A good portion of heaven will surely be given to you and the sponsors of Bright TV. Amen. My question is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 to 7. Here, Apostle Paul seems to present three categories of apostles. Let's 15, verse 5 to 7. 5 to 7 says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. So the question from this is, yeah, Apostle Paul seems to present three categories of apostles. That is the 12, which is in verse 5, James and other apostles, verse 6, then himself, verse 7. I wish to ask, there are several categories of apostles, Brother James from Cameroon.
And he was seen of Cephas, then he was also seen of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. I think it's just a narration of the period.
Okay.
You know, the time he was seeing them, the occasions.
Okay.
You look at it as the occasion. There was an occasion where Cephas alone saw him. That's what he's saying here.
Okay.
Then also,
the
12 disciples also saw him. That was an occasion.
Okay.
And then another occasion, he presented himself to about 500 brethren. He said, at once. Mm. So they were all gathering in one place when he appeared and they saw him. Then in another occasion, you know,
he was seen of James.
Then again, in another occasion, the 12 apostles again.
Okay.
All the apostles. Mm. So he's not telling you, you know, the different occasions he saw in them like that. It's not that they are categorized. Yes. It's not categorizing them.
Okay.
He didn't see them according to categories. Mm-hmm. It's just the occasions that they were seen.
All right. God bless you, Brother James from Cameroon. All right. God bless you, Brother James from Cameroon. So we have other questions coming in. All right. Shalom to the bride of Christ. Please, sir, what happens to the remaining Gentiles that will be left on earth after rapture? Will they all die at once, or will they wait for the final judgment, sir? Please throw more like this, Sister Comfort from Abuja,
Nigeria. Let me take that question again.
What happens to the remaining Gentiles that will be left on earth after the rapture? Will they all die at once, or will they wait for final judgment?
There are those who will be left on earth after the rapture fall into two categories. One, after the rapture, 7 years after the rapture, according to divine agenda, we see that in Daniel chapter 9, there will be a period known as the day of the Lord. Within this period of the day of the Lord, there will be a shaking in the world. The Bible says that few men will be left. And these few men that will be left, they are left alive so that they can enter the millennium. Because after the day of the Lord, then Christ comes with us, because I'll be among, I don't know about you.
Among certainly. Amen.
Will come with us to rule this earth for 1,000 years. So we will not be ruling animals. we will not be ruling grass and the vegetation. So there will be human beings that will be left. Those one third left are those that will repopulate the earth. Amen. So they will remain to repopulate it for the 1,000 years, if that question is directly answered.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Sister Comfort from Abuja. All of them are not going to die all at once.
No.
So you've gotten the answer. So we have other questions coming in. And this is Sister Patricia from South Africa. She says, Shalom, Pastor. Please, sir, I have a question based on the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2. She's asking a question from Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3. Okay. Which says, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that had rebelled against me, they and their fathers, and have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And Revelation chapter 10, verse 9, which says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
So what's the question?
So the question says, please, sir, can you explain more on those scriptures? Is it the same revelation that God showed those two prophets?
No, they are two different revelations.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 9 is the Jewish revival that takes place as the rapture, takes place.
Yes, yeah.
After the rapture, Israel is faced with their upcoming revival. And God was showing John that revival that we see in verse 11 of that chapter 10. So the book there is the book that of Revelation, of course, of what it will befall Israel.
Okay. All right. Okay, from Equatorial Guinea, Sister Ashu says, my question goes thus, should the triangle of the 12 tribes of Israel be put inside the church as a revelation from God?
What revelation? What you see, I think this is what you are talking about. What you are seeing here is not triangle, it's the Star of David. It's referred to as the Star of David. Because remember that the kingdom was given to David, and the covenant of kingship was given to David and his son after him. And Christ will sit at the throne of his father David. So Israel is a nation under the covenant that God had with David, and this was the symbol, the Star of David. And remember that Jesus is the morning star. So your question is, should it be put in a church by revelation? I don't know what the revelation is. If God tells anybody to put that inside a church, then he will tell him why he says he should put it. But it has nothing to do with the Gentiles. It is the flag of Israel till today. And so we are spiritual Israel. And being spiritual Israel, our identity is spiritual, not physical. God bless you. And we are from all nations.
Amen. Amen. All right, sir. Let's go back a bit to that question that was asked concerning Adonijah. And one of it was what you pointed out, which was with respect to he trying to take over the throne, as we see in 1 Kings chapter 1. Then I would want us to read below from the scripture she read.
Yes.
Maybe we could also see some other things. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. Then downwards. Verse 13 says, and Adonijah the son of Agnite came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, come thou peaceably, and he said, peaceably. And he said, moreover, I have some word to say unto thee. And he said, and she said, say on. And he said, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said, she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Now verse 19, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. Verse 22. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my elder brother. Even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Sheab. Then 23. Then the king Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. And now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, which had established me, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who had made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day.
That's the answer.
Oh, we have a caller. Brother Christian from Netherlands. Brother Christian, God bless you. Shalom.
Hello, Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. God bless you. Please go on.
Okay, thank you very much. Shalom, Pastor. Shalom, Brother Christian.
God bless you.
Shalom, Brother Christian. We can give you even more. Thank you.
So the first question is a bit practical for me. So it's in the proper church setting, the question is, to what extent should one have confidence in this pastor or teacher? And the reason I ask the question is that there's been a few times that you're teaching something that is about the doctrinal theme that you endorse. And there's a voice in my mind that's on the other life. And I don't exactly experience basically it, you know, if it's God talking or if it's just my mind talking. So for most times in such situations, I put my confidence in what you're teaching.
Now.
However, after a while, you come back to correct the teaching or the doctrine. And it more fits what was on my mind. And sometimes with the same intensity or even the same language, you know. So back to the question. To what extent should one have confidence in the teacher or pastor?
Number.
And now, how can the young believer manage this type of situation in a respectful manner and in order not to disrupt the authority? Because in this case, we can say, of course.
Now, God bless you, Brother Christian. To what extent? The extent by which you follow any man of God is to the extent of your confirmation of his sincerity in what he is doing. And the first test of sincerity in any man is his ability to admit when he is in error and openly confess it and retract it. That is it. Once I can see any man of God that can display sincerity to that level, I would place confidence on him that I know that he is sincere, and the day he finds out he is wrong, he will correct us. So I will follow him.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. But then, the second part of that question was,
how can a young believer manage it in a church?
You have a very experienced pastor, and sometimes you teach it. And then you hear the voice. I don't want to say the voice because I don't have the experience, but sometimes it's in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the pastor corrects that. So maybe not once, not twice. So is it that you have to not have confidence in what you hear?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. First and foremost, remember that the pastor is not the author of any revelation. And any revelation is not exclusively given to the pastor. And I have been in a church before where the pastor preached what I believe is wrong by virtue of a light that I see in what he's teaching. And I point it to him, and he refuses. That does not make me follow him, because I must follow what he believes. No, I believe that we all should study. And if we all study, then we all should be bold enough when you see something contrary to what you understand to be able to confront the pastor. Sometimes when you do that, that is why I say, when you do that, you see a revelation, then the only reason why your pastor should counter the revelation you have should must be by a superior revelation, not because he's a pastor, but because he proves it from the scriptures. And when you see that, then you know. And if you discover that your own revelation is superior to his, and he's not seeing what you are seeing, and it is consistently like that, then I will advise you to heed the advice of our brother Branham. That means you know better than your pastor. And if you do know better than your pastor, then you cannot sit under one that you know better than. That is evident. That's not your pastor. You change and look for another pastor. Let me make it clearer again. I said we heed the advice William Branham gave us, whereby he said, if you are in a ministry and you know more than the pastor, that is evidence that man cannot be your pastor. And so...
this is not it. I tried to send the question around how a young believer can manage situations like that. I mean, of course, it's not all the time this can happen.
No, you see, the only reason...
So, I mean, sometimes it's not that it's not in the Bible what the pastor is saying, but it's more a thing of revelation at the time.
No, that's what I'm saying. You see, we are talking about teaching here. It's about teaching, trying to understand scripture. Now the where you will see a man that is sincere, I told you, sincerity there is that he is able to see that, what I said so day, no, there's a further light to it that knocks off that. The new believer will be excited because he's also growing. Now, and nobody wants to remain in error. Remember, whatever revelation you have, whether it is an old believer or a new believer, it is to sharpen, improve his spiritual life. So any revelation you have that gets the light brighter for you, knowing God better, knowing that the scriptures better, understanding it better, should excite both a new believer and an old believer. And the evidence of sincerity is that the person we know is wrong, when the pastor discovers he made a mistake, he should come back again and correct it. That is, I will lay my confidence on such a person.
Yes, indeed. But there are two parts to that one. So one is that how much confidence that can you have is that the teaching that have to change quite regularly or quite often, and then so people can say, it's not a solid foundation in itself if it has to change so frequently in that sense.
That is one problem that many pastors have. You see, we know in part, and that is the problem we have with the restoration ministry, and that is the problem we have with the denominations generally, where they hold onto a particular faith. Take for instance, all these years we all believed in three persons in one God. If I was teaching three persons in one God, and then God causes me to know that no, it's not three persons, but three offices. And then I come to teach that this Trinity thing, of the way I was teaching it, no, it should not be Trinity of persons, but Trinity of offices. Does it not make the gospel clearer? So that I should lay my... But for somebody, you should be careful and not put your confidence on a man that sees that he has made a mistake or see further light, but for fear that they will look at him as an unstable teacher and then hold on to that with the people that are following him so that he will be made to look like consistent. That would be wrong. That would be very, very wrong. I will not follow such a man. That's the reason why people, you know, don't move with the light. When the light moves, you move. And we grow. Yes, we grow.
I appreciate that indeed.
Yes.
My notes would
And I pray that some pastors will hear what I'm saying now, that we should be sincere enough when you are wrong to say you are wrong, because people are following you. So when you see the right thing, yeah, you should correct when you find the truth, because the life, the souls of the people are, you are holding it, and you must not mislead them. So that is the reason why Apostle Paul lost his popularity with the Pharisees, because he saw a brighter light and had to knock off a lot of things, and he had to begin to go light upon light. And just like Apostle Paul himself, for instance, he thought in one place that it is good that we should not marry. But in another place, he said, let every man have his wife. So because he saw a further light on the advantage of marrying, and that he got to know that everybody is not like him. So he balanced that. So I just want you to note, you know, this is very important. Yes.
Thank you for continuing to that question. I will ask a second question. As I said, you want a bit of an assembly exercise, but since I have you on the line, I'll take advantage of this.
Go ahead. You are calling all the way from Netherlands.
So I'm reading Genesis chapter 9,
okay,
and verse 21 to 24.
Yes.
It's talking about Noah there.
Okay.
He drank of wine and was drunk, mm-hmm, and he was uncovered within his tent,
mm-hmm,
and had the power of Canaan, all the nakedness of his father.
Mm-hmm. Chapter
9:21 to 24. And then if I go to verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him.
Yes.
Now, when I was reading this, it seems that there was something more sinister here that has happened.
Yes.
I know you say from Leviticus 18 and also Leviticus 18 verse 8 and Leviticus 20 verse 11 and 17 that uncovering your father's nakedness is to be with your father's wife. Mm.
Yes.
But when I also was reading the Leviticus 20 verse 17, it also says, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and he has nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, is a wicked thing. And when I come back to this Genesis chapter 20, it says, Noah knew what his younger son had done unto him. So it seems to suggest that it was actually Noah, because it says he was the one that was lying uncovered in the
I do know. I do know that some persons believe that was a homosexual action. I mean, act. But you know, scripture is. We're talking of scriptural language now. You know, and especially the book of Genesis, the beginning chapters. A lot of. The gospel is presented in symbols. So if seeing a man's the nakedness of a man, the Bible interprets sleeping with a man's wife as seeing the nakedness of the man, as we see in Leviticus chapter 18 where you quoted, and Leviticus chapter 20 also where you quoted, and Deuteronomy chapter 22 also where you quoted, Deuteronomy chapter 27 also, and all other scriptures. You will see that first it attracts a curse. It attracts a curse. But the language used there, if we will, in the mouth of two or three, a matter is established. The language there, I have no other interpretation than to say he slept with his father's
and
wife.
No.
But remember that it goes with a curse. Now, do you remember Jacob and Reuben? Do you remember how that Reuben slept with his father's wife? Do you remember that story?
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, maybe look at this scripture in Genesis chapter 35. Let's read verse 22. Let's read it together.
Okay, Genesis chapter 35.
Yes.
Verse 22 says, and it came to pass when Israel...
When Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went and lay with
So is that not the same setting like Noah also knew what Ham did? Then Noah caused Ham. Now the same thing also now in chapter 49 of Genesis, verse 3 and verse 4. Genesis 49, verse 3 and verse 4. Now he's now blessing his children. He's blessing his children. When he come to his firstborn son, Reuben, what did he say?
Okay. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my knight, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel.
You see how he calls you? Why?
Thou wentest up to thy father's bed.
Can you see? Then defiled thou it. He went up to my coach.
Yeah.
Does that not link that setting with what Noah found out and why he caused him? Caused harm.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Pastor.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Christian. God bless you, Brother Christian. Always nice having you when you call. All right, so questions are still coming in. We have this from Cameroon, Brother Julius. Brother Julius says, Shalom, sir. Question one, what could be the cause of sudden spiritual breakdown of a Christian? Sudden spiritual breakdown of a Christian.
That's a technical terminology. I don't understand. How will a Christian break down? I don't understand. What's the second question?
Okay, second question says, I received numerous prophecies from many men of God. None is being fulfilled. What can be the cause? Virgilius from Cameroon.
Certainly I can't also answer this. If it doesn't come to pass, then it is false.
Okay.
If you say you receive prophecy from many men of God, but again, it depends on what the prophecies are saying. If there are prophecies that give you time and date, then the date and time comes and it don't come to pass. Then you say it's a failed prophecy, like a brother of mine prefers using. He said I should stop using false prophecy. Okay. But that is failed prophecy. I don't know, it's just a matter of language. Whether it failed or it's false, the important is that it didn't come to pass. And can God speak and it will fail?
No.
Because the Lord assured us in Isaiah 55. Let's read it, verse 11.
Isaiah 55. All right. 55 verse 11, and it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
So if God speaks, he watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
So that could be the reason. So, but if time is, if that time is not given, then you need to be patient.
Okay.
I remember I received a revelation when I was believing God for the fruit of the womb.
Okay.
And while I was praying, I had prayed for so many years, so waiting. So I said, well, maybe God has ordained that I will not have a child. Prophecies had come from various places. So I was saying, could there be also false prophecy? Though, and for some even give time and it didn't come to pass. So, and I was telling the Lord, if you have ordained me to be without a child, let me assure you, a child or no child, I will still serve you in the same way.
Amen.
I'm not serving you so that I will have a child, but let me remove this from my prayer point. I know that this is how you have ordained me. Show me now.
Okay.
And immediately a vision broke forth. And he showed me a son, a little child, sitting by my side, right where I was. I thought it was physical until the thing disappeared. Yeah. I said, oh, wow. So I quickly jumped up. I went to my wife. I said, there is a boy that is coming. Mm-hmm. This is thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing is that that boy didn't come till 8 years after. Wow. Because he didn't tell me the day, he didn't tell me the time.
Yes.
You know, but I was sure because I know the gift I have. When he shows me, it comes to pass. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I held onto it. Mm-hmm. More so, he didn't give me time. Okay. So that's it. It could be that you need more patience for his word to come to pass. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Julius from Cameroon. Thank you. Okay, we have a question that's from Jesse Yakubu from Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. Says, please, I have a wife, but because of the problem she's giving me, now I don't have any feelings for her again. Please, what will I do? Because I'm thinking of divorce.
So it's not a doctrinal issue.
It's not a doctrinal issue.
It's a counseling issue because a specific problem. But one thing is the option for any Christian is not a divorce. There is no problem without solution. The only reason why you divorce a wife you've been together for some time like that is in the scriptures for fornication, infidelity, nothing more. So maybe when you call us privately, we will counsel you. Because it may be you not giving her the desired attention. The problem may be coming from you. So don't conclude she's giving me trouble. I hope you are not giving her trouble because there's a preacher that says anything you give a woman, she will multiply it for you. I hope you are not giving her trouble and she's multiplying what you are giving her and returning it to you. So we need to talk with you. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Jesse from Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria. Okay, we have other questions. Okay, Brother Innocent from Edo State. Right now, saying shalom and God bless you.
Good evening, sir.
Shalom, Brother Innocent.
Good evening, sir.
Shalom. Please go on with your question, Brother Innocent.
I wish you God bless, sir.
God bless you, Brother Innocent. I hope you are an innocent Christian.
Yes, sir. Hello, sir.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Sir, my I need the counsel, not direct question. Because I've been following your ministry since last year. I told you, I said I've left the ministry that baptized in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That is Christ Apostle Church.
Okay.
Precisely. And we do remit money to help us every month. And because we are paying you as a full pastor, you need to spend a lot of money. Like we have served them for 27 years. Because I don't have the money to do coordination, they still use me as an evangelist. So after listening to this channel, I decided to pull out this year. But since then, I have been praying to God for direction. Either to remain an online member or to open a ministry of my own. But since that generally, I have not hear from God. But other minister of God, he came telling me, they are seeing a revelation that I'm a people come back to CAC. I begin to wonder, I think all these messages I'm here, are they not sure of God's mind? Like the baptism, the apostolic ministries. And what really confused me that I've been praying to God, God has not revealed it to me. So I'm not confused either to just look for small money, buy him the same chair, make a pulpit, and start a ministry, and preach exactly this entire message, or to listen to this revelation that I should go back to see it again.
God bless you.
I really need your counsel, sir.
God bless you, Brother Innocent.
I called last year, sir.
Yes.
You said until I pull up from the wrong place, you said that speak to me. And look at my school of January ending this year. Since then, I just sat on that television. And I'm not feeling very satisfied.
Brother.
Because I'm a teacher. I'm not a listener. I'm not a listener.
Brother Innocent, God bless you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me very well?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
I believe that prophecy that was given to you is correct. Do you know why I say it is correct?
Yes, sir.
What is CAC? What is the end time message?
The end time message
is to come back to the apostolic faith. The end time message, listen to me, innocent. The end time message is to come back to the apostolic faith. It's to come back to the church that Christ established and the apostles laid the foundation. So it is a prophetic prophecy. That prophecy is from God. Where you are going now, what you are to do now is to start your own church, but it will be an apostolic ministry. Come back, and the apostolic ministry is not apostolic denomination, but an apostolic ministry. I am now pastoring a Christ apostolic church because we are standing where the apostles stand. Therefore, we are of the apostolic faith. Remember that Jude, in Jude verse 3, said we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. And Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, 8, he says, anyone that preaches anything contrary to what they, the apostles, have preached, let him be accursed. And we are told to come back to the Bible from where the church deviated. So it's not telling you that prophecy properly interpreted. It's not telling you to go back to the Christ apostolic denomination, but come to the apostolic revelation, apostolic faith. Now, let me tell you something, brother. Why did you hear from God before you accepted to pastor CAC in the CAC church?
When I joined the apostolic church,
did you hear from God? Did you hear from God? You know why I say so? Is that Christ Apostolic Church, being a denomination, saw a grace, saw a ministry in you, and decided to use it for their organization.
Yes, sir.
That is evidence that you have a call. Now that you left them, you are not to stop. You are to only continue this time, not unto CAC denomination, but unto Christ who called you, who gave you that grace. So you have been wasting your talent sitting down at home. Go and preach the gospel, but this time in the line of the present truth that you know. Simple. God bless you.
All right. God bless you and God bless you. Okay, we have a question from Yobe State, and that is from Badejo from Yobe State, Nigeria. It says, Shalom, the bride of Christ. I want more explanation on the permissive will of God and perfect will of God.
When you say more explanation, what do you mean? You know, you want to know the meaning of perfect will and the meaning of permissive will. I have one scripture to explain that to you, and that is in Matthew chapter 19. Concerning marriage and divorce. From verse 3.
Okay, Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. And it says, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder.
So this is the perfect will of God. This is how God has designed it to be. Then verse 7.
Verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery.
So, and God did not stop Moses when he gave that.
Yes.
Because he was using it to solve a problem. So that was permissive.
Okay.
God permitted it. But Jesus said, in the beginning, it was not so. Now, this is the word of God. This, the Bible here is the word of God. And he has told us, you know, this is his perfect will.
Okay.
Anything you want to do is guided by this. Yeah. And despite this, for instance, the woman is not permitted to teach, to usurp authority and use over the man. And you saw that there was never a woman priestess in the Bible, and there was not a woman apostles in the Bible. Even after the death of Judah, it was not replaced by a woman.
Yes,
it's written clearly, the instructions are there clearly. Then a woman is desiring to go into ministry and goes to a mountain and start praying and pray, Lord, 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 Lord. We hear a voice that will tell her, go ahead. You know, go, I'll be with you. Now, the perfect will is that God does not, you know, allow woman. That. Yes. But the permissive will is that for whatever reason, it gives you your heart desire. Go and do it. Now, concerning marriage also, we are not to be yoked together with unbelievers. Then that is God's perfect will.
Yes, sir.
Then a Christian wants to marry an unbeliever. And he's going to pray. If you go and God blesses that union, it's under his permissive will, not his perfect will. Also, it was for a purpose that God allowing them of old, Solomon, David, Jacob, and all the rest, to marry more than one wife.
Yes, sir.
Was polygamy was God's permissive will.
Yes, sir.
But now that we are to return to perfection, to his perfect will, it is one man, one wife. So also, just another example, let me give this last example, Balaam.
Yes, sir.
Balaam was asked to go and curse Israel, and God told him, when he went to seek the face of God, said, you can't curse these people because I have blessed them.
Yes, sir.
But when he saw the gift, then he went back again. And God said, okay, go. So the first answer was God's perfect will.
Yes, sir.
And the second answer
is
the permissive will. And so also it goes, how do you know the permissive will and God's perfect will? It's not in the Bible. Concerning any matter, when you go praying, the first answer that comes to you is God's perfect will. If after that you are still going to disturb him again, usually it is because you desire it that way. So he will give you your heart desire. And you will think that is the will of God, contrary to what he spoke, you know, initially. So you see, there's a permissive will. He will give you permissive will, but his perfect will still stand. So also, that's what he was telling them in Ezekiel 14. If he comes, say, he will answer you according to the desire of your heart. And this, you can read that on your own. What do you not understand about the perfect will and permissive will? You have to be specific. But so far, that's the general outlook.
So could we, from the samples...
There's a call coming in.
Okay. All right. Brother Jesu Kunle from Abuja, Nigeria. God bless you. Let's have your question.
Yeah, shalom. Good evening, sir.
Shalom and God bless you.
Brother, you are the second person I know on this earth that is bearing Jesus in his name. Jesus David, and I know now I know Jesus Kule. That means Jesus Kule.
Yes.
So you are.
Yes, I want to thank God for your life.
Yes.
For the brighter light that the Lord is using to shine on those teachings that we hold on to before.
Amen.
And in line of the further light and the new revelation that the Lord is showing you, I want to thank God for your life, and I pray that the Lord will continue to move you forward and continue to open your eyes. And as we open our own eyes, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Please, I listened to your teaching of yesterday. So you, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4,
yes,
verse 15,
yes,
where it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Yes.
And dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
You make a statement yesterday that you will be confused, God will confuse.
Okay.
So I want to ask, these dead in Christ that we rise, are they going to rise before the rapture or after the rapture?
The order,
the order
is there now. This is the order for the rapture. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with, the first stage is the shout. It's a ministry, I hope you understand. With the voice of the archangel, that is the next stage. And then the last stage is the trump of God. After that third stage, he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, this is the order. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them that rose from the grave. We shall rise in the cloud. We'll be with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, I think it's clear. Maybe you didn't read verse 17.
All right. God bless you, Brother Jesu Kunle. God bless you. We're going to go.
We are going together with the dead in Christ. They are rising to join us. Then together we are going.
Amen.
Maybe that is. They are not going before us. But,
amen and God bless you. Okay. We're going on a very short break. And when we're right back, it's still Ask the Pastor. Don't touch the dial.